Welcome to IntelliCast, powered by Skip.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes, folks. Then we'll get ready and get started. Okay, folks, David, if you're ready, we're going to get started because we are at time. Let me just make sure that everybody has been let into the meeting. First off, hello and welcome. Let me first say that on behalf of Skip, we hope everyone on this call is and will remain safe and healthy during this crazy, crazy time. And secondly, we welcome you to Skip's first Ask Me Anything, or AMA. Thank you so much for joining us today. We know that your time is valuable. You have a lot going on, especially with all the shifting. So this is the first time we're going to be presenting an AMA, and we are so happy to have David Kalinowski, the president of Proactive Worldwide, as our first in-house expert. David has been in the CI field for 30 years and has been a longtime partner and a contributor to Skip, and he has also helped thousands of CI practitioners along the way. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Michelle Winter, and I am the Director of Education here at Skip. A little bit more background on the AMA. This is for those of you who are not familiar with how this program will work. This is basically a quick hitting 30 minute session, and the content that we have is actually driven by you. When you registered, we asked that you submit one or two questions on today's topic, which was managing internal stakeholders' expectations during this disruption. And here's how the program will flow. And don't forget, this is a live program, and your computer will stream both an audio and video. And so make sure that that is on your computer. All participants are muted during the duration of this 30-minute program. Questions that were submitted during the registration process that were most relevant to the topic will be asked and answered first. And if time permits, we will address any questions that may be submitted during the program. In order to ask a question, you can type it into the chat box feature. We will do our best to ask and answer as many questions we can in the time allotted, but we can't make any promises, but we'll do our best. Last but not least, and this is the most important thing, we don't foresee any technical issues, but sometimes internet programs can be subject to them. And if this should happen, we will contact you regarding rescheduling. So, bringing us back here, before I turn this over to David, the COVID-19 health crisis is unprecedented, and we are all dealing with uncharted waters in our day-to-day lives, both professionally and personally. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty, and especially with all of us shifting to a home office environment, it brings a whole new set of challenges in which we need to cope. Part of that involves needing, and perhaps more than ever, to effectively manage the expectations of those we serve, and the status quo has changed for sure. What I would like to do right now is introduce you to David. Hi, David.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, hello, everybody. I'm happy that you are able to join us and hope that, as Michelle said, yourself, your family, your friends, your coworkers are all staying safe and healthy and doing all the things that are necessary, during the situation here. So I wanted to jump in here, and I looked at a bunch of the different questions that came across, and kind of summarize kind of a top 8, top 10 list of some key takeaways of ways to manage expectations. I'm going to rattle through some of those quickly to address some of the initial questions, and then there were some other questions that were posed that I think Michelle will raise, and then the others that happen to come through, and be happy to address them. As Michelle said, I've been around for 3 decades in the CI industry, and calling in here from outside of Chicago, and excited to share some of this knowledge with you. When we talk about expectations, we're really talking about being able to understand what a belief of what somebody should or will be able to achieve or do or get done. And if we don't properly right now, in particular, manage expectations, it can be really perceived that our CI function or us as individuals are unorganized, we're chaotic, that we're going to get unrealistic expectations, something's going to get missed, there's going to be miscommunication, end of the day, your internal client is going to be unhappy. And so as we're thinking about this type of thing, hopefully my screen is on and you're able to share some of these. I want to encourage you to, if you don't do this already, now more than ever, get to know your stakeholders. So profile them. So this happens before you even start the project, right? Where we really need to better understand right now, what is the communication style of our end stakeholders? So to properly manage them, are they expressive? Are they amiable? Are they a driver? Are they a bottom line thinker? What's their style so we can adapt to that? What are their current goals and objectives? So as you're understanding your stakeholders that you're serving right now, what their initial goals were in January may have changed with all this pandemic going on. So really give some serious thought to understanding what their new goals, what their new emergent objectives are, and how you could best support that. And third is, what are their personal preferences? So how can you best deliver your content to them? Do they want something in the morning? They want it in the evening? They want a quick phone call? Do they want a one-page PowerPoint slide? They want the Excel deck with rich detail? What is it that they want? So we talk about personalized medicine, but we need to have personalized intelligence right now as we go move along. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to encourage everybody to do is really, especially now, move out of the nice to know types of engagements. We all kind of have some of those, and really focus on the need to know. So what are the most critical areas? So number one, what problem are we really trying to solve? So as we look at managing the expectations, deeply uncovering what the main problem is any given stakeholder is going through. The second thing is, how can what we deliver impact that, and what will be the value based on their perceptions of value? And three, when it comes to determining the critical needs, I think get as specific as possible. The generalizations we find will not work well when trying to manage your expectations. The get me whatever you can approach sets up engagements oftentimes for failure. So I would encourage you to get as specific as possible. A third way to manage expectations is what I call the doability factor, right? So is it even doable? A lot of times now we have finite resources, sometimes less resources because of a crisis like this. There's been freezes on budgets. There's been people let go. There's been subscriptions that have been cut. So we have to assess even, can we do what's being asked of us? So without violating any ethical or legal codes, are sources as available as they once were? So sometimes we have to educate our stakeholders that, yeah, we used to be able to call up and talk to certain people and get some insights, but now it's harder to reach those individuals with everybody working from home and not having the same kind of access and availability to all of them. So I encourage you to give some kind of a doability percentage, right? We expect to get 25%. We expect to get 80% of what it is that you are looking for. And you can even ask them, can we even get what you're seeking on the competitor or on your supplier or regulatory issue or whatever? Can we even get any of that on our own company? And if the answer is no, that will help you to further manage the expectations. A fourth way to manage expectations here centers around establishing what really are the resources you need to get done what's coming across your desk here. So giving some real deep thought about what your current capacity is, you know, the hours it takes to get certain things done. Do you have the skills and talent in-house? Do you have the bandwidth in-house? Do you need to get outside help? What is the delivery team going to look like? So looking at the resources becomes really important, especially when you don't have as many resources. I have a bottle of water, like some of you probably do. Well, you can't fit a gallon into this 16.9 ounces, right? So you only have so much capacity. So we have to be very clear about what it is that we can deliver against the resources that we have. But we have to be clear on what resources we need against the expectation or the deliverable. The fifth thing is to actually define early on what the deliverables are. A lot of times this happens as you go through the project or even toward the tail end. Right now in this crisis situation, again, because we don't have a whole lot of time and energy, we have to be able to make sure that we are avoiding duplication of work, right? So nobody likes duplicate work. I know I don't. And so being able to be clear about what's the format of what you need delivered? What analytical tools are you going to use? And will a presentation of these findings be required? All those things become really important so that, again, you can align end of the day with the deliverables so you're not putting something together and then having to redo it or take something that you sliced one way and realize they wanted it sliced a different way. So by managing the expectations with them of what it is you're specifically expected to deliver will help tremendously. A sixth way to help manage expectations all centers around making sure we don't actually start anything until you get that approval. I've seen several people in the last couple of weeks engage in work and put a lot of time into things, even hire outside firms, only to realize that their manager, the director, the VP was only talking conceptually about a potential project or a need and never really commissioned anything. So they went down this path. And so really, in setting those expectations and making sure you have clear alignment on budget and clear alignment on exactly, again, what we're going to deliver against the request here. Very important to set realistic timeframes right now. You own the CI function, right? So it's up to you or the market research function, whatever capability these things apply to both. And it's really important to under-promise and over-deliver right now more than ever. So if it's, Tuesday and you know you could get something done by Thursday, tell your stakeholder you'll have it to them by next Monday, right? And if you get it done sooner, great. If other things come up, as you know they will, then you have some buffer, some cushion in there. So it's really important to apply the Covey mindset of start with the end in mind and really think working backwards. What are the specific time requirements to complete certain tasks and what tasks are dependent on other types of things? So again, taking the approach of under-promising, over-delivering with your stakeholder on what it will really take to get something done. Again, you're the expert. You know what's involved when you design the methodology and the approach to get your work done. So it's really critical that they understand. Yes, there are going to be some times that things are urgent, but then just ask and make sure that they're also important, right? So not a whole lot of things are urgent and important. So they might be urgent. Could you get this to me tomorrow? But you realize it's not that important. It can actually wait, or vice versa. It might be important, but they don't need it right away. So spend some time setting clear expectations on timelines. Eighth element is really, communicate on a regular basis more than ever, especially when we're in a remote environment, in a virtual environment. These things apply whether you're in the office or remote, because let's face it, most of us that were in the office probably dealt with a lot of virtual stakeholders anyway. Even if they were in the same office, you didn't always get that face-to-face time that you would like to have. So make sure that we are having very direct, candid, straight shooting conversations. If you don't think something could get done, you got to say so. If you think it's going to take a certain amount of time, you got to say so. If you're not certain about certain information, we have to make that very clear. So have that kickoff call, be able to provide updates on a regular basis, as well as make sure that when you deliver your output, you have a next steps to keep, to keep you busy, but also to help them out on what's the next type of intelligence that we need to capture based on what you already delivered. two final things, and then again, we'll open some things up to questions, is something I learned from many years ago from Kirk Tyson about 30 years ago, and that is the idea of seeking perspective, not precision. So in this time of crisis right now, more than ever, the push for precise information is not going to yield you a whole lot. People are not as available to talk, and those that are, or the content that's out there isn't necessarily as precise. There's a lot of perspectives about different things, and that's a good thing, because we all know that at the end of the day, intelligence is all about perspective, and so being able to get some accurate perspective is better than, you know, getting precise data, right? So you can ask your stakeholders, would you rather have 10% of precision or 90% of perspective, because perspective always exists. We can always capture that. And the last thing is, as folks who are involved in your market research or your CI capability, we got to really exhibit our leadership. That means speaking with confidence, with authority, with conviction. Again, you own the CI function. So it's really critical that when you set parameters about what could be done by when and at what investment level, that you say it with enough credibility that gains respect and appreciation. Now, yes, you will have some stakeholders sometimes that they don't care, and they're still going to push back and say, I need to have it by this date. Or, you know, and again, all we could do is continue to demonstrate what's obtainable and realistic and real based on, you know, what the resources we have. So I just wanted to open up and share some of those initial 10 things to take away, and based on some of the initial questions that came in. And Michelle, happy to address some specific questions. Great. That you may have now.
Thanks, David. So like David said, these, and I'm sure you all know, you all submitted questions. So we're going to just kind of jump right in, and I'm going to throw them at you, David, and answer away. First and foremost, why are Insights employees absolutely critical during this pandemic? David, you've muted yourself. Now you're unmuted. Yes.
sorry about that.
No worries.
So I think we have to be able to think about the fact that we can recognize blind spots, that we are an important avenue to understand the external environment. Not a whole lot of people in the company look at the external world. A lot of times we're looking at internal data. So we are a window to the external world. We are able to understand the current positioning of our competition. So as Michael Porter talks about, you know, strategy is all about understanding what, you know, what's going to make us unique, how are we going to gain an advantage, and how are we going to sustain that advantage over time. So if we're able to look at competitor strategy and start to understand what is their intended strategy versus their realized strategy, so what they have in their 10K versus what they're actually doing in practice, you bring value to that. I think you're able to help mitigate risks. I think in Insights, personnel right now are critical to help find hidden opportunities that exist in the marketplace. I think you can help to adjust the mix of offensive and defensive strategies in your company, right? So maybe you've been a very growth-oriented company. Now it's time to defend your share, and how do you get your leadership to think differently about that component. And you can also, you know, reduce time to react. And then finally, you know, another reason I think we're critical is around leveraging the corporate knowledge and perceptions that exist. So tapping into your internal network and being able to get the insights from the different individuals, so you could then tell one holistic 360, you know, point of view as a, you know, independent objective observer.
Okay. So how would you manage expectations when stakeholders take away resources because of all of the, especially now with all the economic uncertainties, because this is a real issue right now.
That's tough. Couple things, and prioritization. I mean, that's the biggest way, is to prioritize what it is you will get done with the resources you have, and realizing what could go onto the back burner. I mean, that's really the only option we have is you know, we can't work more than we're working often. So many of us are 10, 12, 14 hour days even sometimes, and when resources are pulled. So we have to eliminate any other types of services we might be providing in our function, or tasks that are just low priority or just don't have a whole lot of value and impact. I think the delivery has to match what the capability and resources allow. So I think just you know, helping to get the executives give you some guidance and governance around these other 15 things that are on my plate here, you know, we have the capability with the resources cut down to do four of them. Which ones are going to add the most value?
Right.
We can't do them all. And
right. So, okay. So this would bring, this is actually a good segue. How would you suggest that we stay like in front, top of mind to our stakeholders when, you know, making sure that we don't get relegated to one of those nice to have functionalities, because that's also another big risk right now.
Yeah. Two things. One is, again, understand their immediate needs and make sure what we're delivering is directly impacting those decisions and supporting those decisions, enabling those decisions. If somebody is going to be measured right now that we have to, you know, boost productivity 10% and decrease cost 15%, everything you deliver has to impact those two decisions or those two metrics that they're looking at or objectives, because if it doesn't, then why are we doing it? So the first is to really make sure we're delivering things that directly impact the objectives and goals and initiatives right now that are underway by any stakeholder. The second thing is around, I think, communication, you know, just making sure that we are in regular communication. That's why, going back to my earlier comment, setting up a communication schedule and a timeline and make sure you're all in alignment so that you could share updates and content along the way, because that might pivot at times depending on some other external events. So that's the biggest way, is just to get clear prioritization and direction and understanding their current needs and just communicate often.
Okay. So how would you suggest managing expectations when forecasts, impacts, all that stuff are unknown, right? There's no leading indicators. There's nothing there that's going to be able to give us timely information.
Yeah, that's a challenge. You know, I think there's always indicators out there. There might not be leading indicators, but there's always weak signals if you're looking for them. So I think it comes back to the approach that you're looking at as you monitor and track the external marketplace, right? So it's really important still to look at forecasts and to look at scenarios. But I think you have to provide for a compelling reader experience, right? So the analysis you do, the writing you do, design that you put together, you know, are all important in making sure you're just not, you know, a nice to know kind of function. But I think looking at those observable events, which is what indicators are, right? An observable event that you see in advance to help you to suggest a particular scenario is more plausible than another one. So the more that we can refine our scenarios, you know, those possibilities of the alternate futures, and then link indicators that are unique to each one of those scenarios, and then, set up the right monitoring cues through some automated search tools to track that stuff, you know, that's all we can ultimately do is, but I do think there's always indicators that are out there. Not everything's a black swan situation.
So do you think we should still plan based on scenarios, or is there another methodology that you might recommend just based on your comments from the last question?
I think you always have to plan for the future still. I mean, I think there's, you know, scenarios are typically more longer term, 12, 18 months or more in some industries. Some industries, you know, it might be a 3 or 6 month type of a scenario. That might be more of a scrimmage look at things. But yes, I think we have to be able to realize that, you know, scenarios are not forecasts or predictions of the future. They are possibilities of the alternative world. And I think some ways to look at that is, are we properly identifying market and competitive trends? Are we looking at technology? Are we looking at market assessments, customer assessments? You know, what do the customers say? Are we looking at key uncertainties? Mm-hmm. So what are the key drivers and dampeners? Are we looking at the demand? Are we looking at channels? Are we understanding the key assumptions that are going into particular scenarios? You know, so I think all those different areas are important. And then when you really do look at scenarios, end of the day, we have to make sure we are balancing the impact and probability, right? I see a lot of people sometimes looking at and almost looking too much at scenarios that have insignificant impact and even a low probability of happening, right now we got to look at what are the higher probability scenarios that might happen that might have the most critical or catastrophic impact of our business. Now you have things like COVID that come up that has had probably a low likelihood or a marginal likelihood of happening. I won't say it wasn't possible at all, because there were all kinds of signs that it was going to happen. Just right. A matter of where and when. But certain things are more catastrophic to the impact. And so we just have to focus on the scenarios that are going to have the greatest impact on our business, not scenarios that they might affect some other parts of our ecosystem, but not necessarily our business, short term. So let's not raise concerns about lower probability, low impact things. Let's focus on our planning efforts around those higher probability scenarios that are going to provide more marginal or critical impact.
So, okay, this next couple of questions actually have to do with all the change and how we actually keep everybody informed, which I think is going to go back to your communication strategy. But everything is changing quickly in the competitive marketplace. What are the best ways to keep internal shareholders aware of all of this key information that is changing constantly?
Ask them. I mean that honestly, because I think each shareholder is going to have a different desire, how they want to be updated and how frequently and on what things. So we have to personalize that. But, clearly having some type of a weekly touch base would be valuable on some of the bigger trends or the bigger issues that we're seeing that can affect your industry or affect your company. So whether it is a call like this that is 15 minutes, whether it is a quick 2-minute video that you record yourselves, and some executives don't want to read even one page these days or have time to do it, amazingly. But if from your profiling of them, they like movies, I've had executives that will happily watch a 2 or 3 minute video of you telling them what's going on versus read the one page that you emailed them. So just consider that as an option, but at least a weekly dialogue of what's happening. I have mixed views on newsletters. I think that they can be helpful to provide some general market content if that's their intention. But they have to be beyond just here's a cut and paste of a bunch of links to some other articles that you want me as a stakeholder to click on and just go read. So if you don't position it as your intelligence deliverable, I think those are fine to keep people informed. But if you want to have it to be more of an intelligence deliverable, then it needs to have some insight and some implications, some linkage to your strategy and your plan as to why I should be reading what you're sending me. Our stakeholders are being bombarded right now with all kinds of different information from all kinds of different sources. So why should we listen to what we have to say, right? So it has to link back to the strategy or the initiatives or their objectives. And if we can't do that, then we need to dig deeper to find some insights that we can link back.
So this actually, you may have addressed this, and I apologize if you have. Are there any specific best practices or techniques to maybe influencing internal stakeholders by using virtual tools? Because that's really what's out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think whether you use GoToMeeting or Zoom or BlueJeans or any of these other kind of tools that are all, Google, Meets, whatever, all this stuff, Microsoft Teams, whatever it is, any of those will work. I think the key is just to have the dialogue, to have some kind of conversation. I'm a big believer of not ignoring the stakeholder. So even if things aren't going well on the project, we all know the life's golden rule, right? About treating others the way you want to be treated. Our golden rule is, call the client before they call you, because then you're not defensive. You're not defensive then about what's going on. So even if things aren't going well, it's okay to be able to say, hey, you have us doing this research on these four companies. Two of them are going great. We're right on track. These other two are struggling, having a difficult time getting the content, and here's why, but here's our game plan to fix it. We might need an extra week of time. And if you do all that stuff early enough, you can't tell somebody the day before something's due that you're not going to have it for them, right? You knew that already. You knew that was going to happen. So we have to be very candid. So yeah, virtual tools like this, or again, like I said, most of us dealt with virtual clients even in the same office. So it shouldn't be what we shared so far, even the top 10 things earlier, they all still apply whether you're virtual or not.
Okay. And so the last 2 minutes of our quick hit here, our AMA, any suggestions on how to manage multiple stakeholder interests? Yeah. In 2 minutes.
Ever see that movie, Multiplicity? You know, you got to duplicate yourself. You know, a couple things. One, again, I think now's the time to really hone in on which stakeholders you're going to serve. You know, we can't service them all. Which ones hold the purse strings and which ones, you know, make the decisions. And while you might service different tiers when you had the bandwidth and you had the resources and you had the time, now it's a matter of which are the key folks to really concentrate on, and then having the right governance structure to be able to have them even communicate with each other if necessary to say, hey, listen, all of you are saying you want this done by Friday. And, you know, I can't do it. And here's why I can't do it. So which one is most essential? And that's where the governance structure comes into play. You may not be the right person to make that call because you might piss somebody else off, you know, because you chose a different stakeholder's priority over someone else's. So getting them to communicate and understand, and, you know, here's where the human factor comes in. You know, it's not the same time where they could be hard-nosed about, no, I gave you 2 weeks, I need it in 2 weeks, and that's it. You know, times are different, and there's a big human dimension. We have to get our stakeholders more than ever, and this can kind of transcend even beyond this crisis, where you might even change forever the way in which you manage some of these stakeholders. But, you know, we have to adapt to realities, to our limited resources, limited access to people or tools at times, as well as stress. The stress that we're all facing. So we need our stakeholders to understand, and it's up to us to get them to understand. But I think if you have a conflict between multiple stakeholders, it's really getting to a point where you could even huddle them all up for that matter, say, here's what's going on, and here's what I think the priorities are. You guys agree? Are we aligned on this? So there isn't any behind back channeling of, you know, hey, you know, they did my project ahead of yours. They shouldn't have done that.
Right. You know? Just making sure everybody's on the same page. Well, folks, David, first of all, thank you so much. We are at time, like promised, 30 minutes of your day. And David, thank you so much for your insights.
I hope this was helpful to anybody. I hope it was helpful. If you have any questions, certainly, you know, reach out to me directly. But David K@proactiveworldwide.com. Otherwise, I hope that helped in some way.
Folks, have a great day. Stay safe, stay well. And David, thanks again. Take care, all.
Bye.